Hello and welcome to the Pop Papa Napcast episode 30. I'm your host TJ Deitch, the proprietor of poppapa.com, that's poppapa.com, and the host of this here podcast. I hope everyone's doing well. We had an interesting week. As I talked about on last week's episode, I was looking at a very, very busy week work-wise last week, and it was. So what we wound up doing was we set up for Lucy to go to daycare on Thursday. Basically, my week was cut one day short because we were going to a wedding down in Pennsylvania for some good friends of ours that I used to work with at Wizard. And it just made sense to go at that point, cut through all the traffic of the day and just get there, spend the night, go to the wedding the next day, and then come back on Sunday. I'll talk about more about that in a minute. But the week was really busy. On Tuesday, I had two phone interviews. I did one while Lucy napped, and then I did one after my wife got home, and they both went really well. I was actually kind of nervous about the second one because the guy, I've never talked to him before, but he's like this like cool like indie artist who kind of does his own thing, and I was like, am I going to sound square? Because I'm kind of completely square. But he was completely cool and really fun to talk to, so I got those done. And then Thursday, I had two more interviews. In the early afternoon, I interviewed Terry Crews, who is the dad on Everybody Hates Chris. I think he's also on Are We There Yet on TBS, although that might not be on the air anymore. And then he's also in The Expendables. He's Hail Caesar in those movies. And the reason I was interviewing was because he did the voice of Blade in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, which had a Halloween special that debuted on Saturday, which was a lot of fun, and I highly recommend everybody checking it out if you're a fan of like monsters or Marvel monsters or anything like that. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. But the time got a little truncated because he had a lot of interviews and had some reception problems, but it was still really neat talking to him, and he was a really cool guy, and just one of those people that you can tell really enjoys kind of being where they are in Hollywood and like in their lives right now, which is cool. He reminded me a lot of Danny Trejo, who is the guy in Machete Kills and a lot of Robert Rodriguez movies. You've definitely seen him. I talked to him a few years ago, and you know, they both kind of, it sounded like, almost stumbled into acting, just kind of showing up on a set and doing a thing, and then it kind of went from there. And they both really just seem to enjoy what they do, which is cool to kind of hear in somebody who's, you know, a pretty big star. And then later on Thursday at 6:30, I had another interview with one of the producers of the show for our weekly talk. Lately, I've been getting some of the voice actors on separately, and they make for good additional interviews instead of kind of being put together with the main interview about the episode. So that's really cool. And of course, that's good for me because that's two different things I can invoice, you know? So all that's thumbs up. But it meant I was very busy. The Terry Crews interview kind of came up a little bit more last minute than the other ones. So the first two that happened on Tuesday kind of went on the back burner a little bit because the second two were a lot more timely. And I was planning on doing everything Thursday and trying to get all my stuff turned in. But we weren't planning on leaving until about 9 or 10 on Friday, so I knew I had a little bit of leeway. And so I wound up transcribing the last interview then and kind of turning that in and reading through another thing that I had to do and then sending that off and still being right on time, which is perfect. But Thursday I took Lou and I dropped her off around 10 o'clock for the daycare, and that went well. And then I just came home and I worked. And the night before, I had really laid out like a schedule of all the things I needed to do. And I even put in things like, you know, eat lunch, eat breakfast, so I wouldn't kind of forget. And so anytime I was like, oh, what do I do? Like, a lot of times I'll be sitting and thinking like, oh, what do I need to do next? What do I need to do next? And having this, like, complete schedule figured out almost hour by hour really helped. And, of course, having, like, things that I had to do at certain times also kind of let everything else make sense. Like, I had to watch the episodes before I talked to Terry, so it just kind of worked itself out in a timeline, and it wound up being really good, and I was really productive, and I was able to do a lot of stuff. I still have a few things to finish up this week for that, but not a ton, which is good because I'm going right into New York Comic Con this weekend. I'm heading down Thursday after Em gets home from work. It just works out better that way. There's a spot in the hotel that I can stay at for CBR, which is awesome, on Thursday night, and then I'll just be there Friday, and I could start working then. Otherwise, we were talking, and it's like, it would just be a lot for M to take me to the train and take Lou to daycare all in the morning and then go to work, because she goes to work pretty early. So we kind of worked it out. I'm heading down Thursday. She's going to take Lou to daycare on Friday, pick her up when she's done with work, and that'll be that. It'll be another busy weekend, but it'll also be a weekend filled with seeing my friends, which is something I don't really get to do. I was joking around with my dad online today saying that I had to drive 6 hours to see my friends who are 2 hours away. That was to this wedding in Pennsylvania. I'm still not exactly sure where we were. Irwin, I think, around there. Never really been. It was about a half hour away from Pittsburgh. I'm a big Steelers fan, but we didn't bother going in because, well, they're terrible right now. And also, I didn't have any agenda and I didn't want to just drive around. So we got in Friday. We just kind of hung out and drove around a little bit, discovered that there are some incredibly strange beer and liquor policies in that area. I just wanted like a six-pack so I could have a couple then and maybe a couple the next day after we got back from the reception or whatever to kind of mellow out. I like to have a drink or two after a busy drive, and we weren't planning on going out to eat, especially because as we were driving around, Lucy fell asleep in the car, which would not facilitate that very well. I stopped at a beer store, I walked inside, and most of it was like warm beer in like 24 packs stacked all the way to the ceiling, and I certainly didn't want to get that, and even if I thought it was a good value and I could bring the rest home, it would take forever for just a few to get cold, and so I was like, no, this is weird, I don't want to do this. You couldn't get a six pack, and then I went to the gas station and they didn't have anything, so I guess you can only buy in bulk, or somebody told me you can buy like six packs from bars and restaurants and other places that sell specifically six packs, which was odd. But anyway, that's just something to keep in mind if you happen to be in Pennsylvania. All in all, it was a pretty good trip, uneventful there. Like I said, we didn't really do anything Friday. We got up and I went down to the Continental breakfast and brought some stuff up for the family. And then we went to Bob Evans for lunch, which was cool. And I realized kind of sitting there, it was neat because Bob Evans is a place we used to go a lot when I was a kid. And so they're all kind of the same. So when you walk in, it's like, oh, yeah, this is the place. They all got redone probably like 10 or 15 years ago. But they all got redone, so they all kind of look the same now. But they all have the bones of the old places, or at least the basic setup. So it was kind of neat to be back there. Then we got back to the room and started getting ready. When I was packing for this trip, I had a couple things in mind because I have left some things behind when packing for weddings, ranging from very small little items to incredibly important things. I have left dress socks behind a number of times, which isn't really that big of a deal because there's usually a store around, you can go pick some up. And another time, I left the entire garment bag, and so we actually had to go and buy clothes. Luckily, we were with my parents, and we were kind of near like a mall. That's not always the case. We were able to get some clothes that worked out really well. That we still use now. So it worked out fine. And so I packed the garment bag and I put it where I knew I would get it. And then I swear I packed my socks. And then I went to unload everything to get ready for the wedding and my socks were gone. I don't know where they were. I'm just going to go sockless. And I was like, well, maybe not. Maybe we should stop at Kohl's, which is right across the street. So we stopped. And even by that time, my feet were already sweaty, and I was glad that I did. But you can't just buy one pair of socks, of course. So I got like a 4 or 5 pack. And they're nice socks, but it's just one of those things. It's frustrating when you don't want to spend the money on something like that, but kind of have to. But, you know, whatever. That was the only downside of the day. We went to the wedding. Lucy fell asleep on the way there. But as soon as we got into the church and the organ music really started going, she woke up and was kind of up and, you know, She did really well until about right before the sign of peace stuff, and then she kind of made a break for it or a little bit behind our pew, and M went and asked her if she wanted to go outside, so they did, and then we finished out the rest of the ceremony. A lot of my friends were there, which was cool. I saw a guy that I haven't seen in years who we worked with at Wizard named Dylan. He was actually, he said, passing through, basically. He was visiting family in New York and New Jersey and happened to be going to Chicago. And so literally on the way, he stopped and came to this wedding, came to the reception for a bit, and then went on to Chicago that night, which was crazy. I hope his trip went well. But just really good to see him and talk to him because it's been, like I said, forever. It's just always good to see my friends from Wizard because I don't get to see them that often. And usually at conventions, even though I'm excited to kind of pop in and see them, it can be really busy. A lot of guys have a lot of stuff going on, especially if you're like an editor or like kind of a bigger guy at your company. You've got to go and do these dinners and all that kind of stuff. I'm pretty low man on the totem pole as far as everything goes, so I don't really have any of that, which is kind of a bummer, like ego-wise, because nobody wants to have dinner with me. But on the good side is that I get to hang out with my friends. Last year, I think we went to like, I got some dinner with a few people, and then the next day, we had a kind of a big drink up one night, so that was really cool. And it's just fun to hang out. And everybody got a kick out of Lucy, and she loves dancing and all that. She wound up falling asleep during dinner with a piece of bread in her mouth. So we put her on the floor, and she was kind of up in and out a little bit for a while. And then she was up and danced. We all had a really good time. And like I said, it's just fun to see everybody and have a few drinks and just enjoy each other's company and kind of catch up a little bit. Because we stay pretty well in contact through email, but that's not always enough, you know. That's a good supplement, but it's always good to get some face-to-face time. And some of the people I'm not going to see at Comic-Con, so it's good to see them when you can. And then we made our drive back on Sunday, and again, it wasn't very eventful. We got home in the, like, early afternoon, I guess late afternoon, like 4 or 5. So that was good. We had some time just to relax. I wound up falling asleep on the couch. About 20 minutes into the drive, I had made this cup of coffee for myself on the Continental Breakfast Sunday morning and basically hadn't had any of it until we got in the car and we're driving, and I went to pour it in my mouth and like the top must have been off funny, and like it was weird because I like heard it hitting the chair before I really realized what was happening, and then by the time I did, I think then I spilled it like on my crotch area. And luckily it was pretty lukewarm by that point, so it didn't burn or anything, but I did sit in coffee for quite a while. And I smelled like coffee up until I took a shower today, I think. So that was an interesting experience, to say the least. Let's see what else is going on. Today, we went to the grocery store. As I mentioned before in previous episodes, I had kind of shied away from going to the store with Lucy because she was getting to be kind of very difficult to deal with while there. But the past few weeks, she's been pretty good, so it's been all right. Today was less good. She wanted to walk the whole time, which isn't always terrible, but she just kept like not wanting to go where I needed to go. And I've got, you know, more work to do today and all week really. So I was like, okay, come on, bud. We're going to go, we're going to shop and then we're going to go home. And at one point she like stood in one of the main aisles up by the cash registers and just started twirling. Like, I think there was a song on that she liked and she just kept twirling. And I was like, Come on, we gotta go. We gotta go get fishies or crackers or whatever it was that I was trying to tell her. I thought that might work because those are foods that she enjoys. I thought that might be a good draw for her to come over. It apparently is not whatsoever a good draw. And I don't want to try and bribe her with like toys or additional things that I wouldn't get her otherwise. So I wound up just kind of picking her up and carrying her over. There's a thing that some parents do that I really kind of hate and don't want to do myself. And that's where you're like, okay, I'm going to go. And then you walk away because, you know, I've got abandonment issues on my own. And what that is basically telling somebody is, hey, I'm going to abandon you here. Bye. If you don't do what I say, I'm going to leave you. And I know that's not necessarily what people want to convey to their kids, but I think that's there when you do that. And it's just something that's always kind of bothered me ever since I've been, like, you know, conscious of adult-child, you know, relationships. So that's one I try not to do. It's probably not as serious as all that. I don't know. I don't need to plant those seeds myself. I mean, it might happen for other reasons, but I'm going to do my best not to be the reason for any of that. So I try to avoid that. I do walk down the aisle where she can still see me, and I'm like, come on. And that... eventually works after she's done spinning around. But it was tough just getting her to go down where I needed her to go. It was not easy, and I wound up forgetting a few things in the produce aisle because of it. So it's going to be an interesting week. But like I said, I'm heading down Thursday. She's going to daycare Friday, so hopefully she'll kind of relax a little bit. I don't know about where you guys are, but we're in a tornado watch of some kind right now. I've got the window open because it's like humid, but also windy and cloudy. So that is interesting. We might lose power. We used to lose power a lot in the winter, but I think we're on the same grid as a fairly large intersection, so that doesn't happen quite as much as it used to, which is big time thumbs up. Beyond that, in other kind of what's new with Lou news, I've got to say it's been difficult getting her to kind of do what we ask her to do lately. She does this thing where you're asking her to pick up her blocks, which she previously picked up and dumped over her head. These are foam blocks, not wood ones. And she just keeps playing with her Merida doll and ignoring your very existence, which can be very frustrating. And you know it's a job that's only going to take a couple minutes. If that even, you just throw some blocks in a box and you're done. And she sits there and ignores you, and the entire thing winds up taking a much longer time. The only thing that wound up working was we took the Merida doll away from her for a little bit and said, all right, just help clean up. And then my wife had this brilliant idea where she actually took Merida and manipulated her arm so Merida was actually picking up blocks and putting them in the box, which finally got her to come over, and that seemed to work, which I thought was a stroke of genius, honestly, because I was coming up empty. And at a certain point, you know, she has so little, I don't really know what to punish her with, because you've got to, you know, essentially take things away. Is it a toy? Is that going to do it? Is that just going to make her freak out and go all crazy for the rest of the evening? Because honestly, this all happened after driving 6.5 hours with coffee crotch. So I wasn't exactly feeling up for a spirited debate with a toddler or a screaming session. And I know that's lazy or tired or whatever you want to call it, but that's how it works, you know? We can't always be awesome, perfect parents all the time. And I really didn't want to have to hear the screaming, but luckily my wife thought of that really good idea and it kind of worked out. Aside from that, I mean, she's not eating a ton, but she asks for what she wants and kind of eats dinner some nights and skips it other nights. I've heard like professional chefs say this, that they get really excited when they wind up making something that their kid enjoy. I mean, they could make like all this amazing food that would blow, you know, adults' minds, and their kids are just like, meh, macaroni and cheese. So anytime I make something for Lucy that she actually likes, I'm pretty happy. And then anytime I make something that she asks for the next day, I feel like a friggin' superhero, which is kind of awesome. Speaking of superheroes, I asked her last week at some point if I was a hero, and she said, oh no, Daddy's not a hero. So that hurt a little bit. I already talked about the Batman thing. I think she's still a little bit afraid of him, but we did see some Batman toys at a McDonald's that we stopped at on the way back home yesterday for some quick lunch, and she was not scared of them, so that was kind of cool. Actually, speaking of McDonald's, I know it's not, you know, healthy food to feed your kid, and we only do it every now and then, and she really enjoys, like, nuggets and fries. But when I was there with her, I kind of had like a flashback to my younger days. We stopped at McDonald's maybe 2 weeks ago, and right now for the girls' Happy Meals, they have these Wizard of Oz toys that look like little vinyl, like collectible toys. So they've got all the main characters, and she got the Scarecrow last time, and then she was looking at the thing, the display, when we went in this time. It was like, oh, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? She hasn't ever seen Wizard of Oz, but she liked the look of all the toys. And it just kind of reminded me of like when I was a kid and we would go to McDonald's on a somewhat regular basis. And just that kind of feeling of like, ooh, what toy am I going to get? Is it going to be one I've already got? Can I trade it with somebody at school? Is it going to be something new? Did they switch over to a completely new thing and the display is not updated? Like all that kind of stuff would come into play. And that was just a fun feeling. It kind of added a fun factor. And I know that's one of the things that they got some flack for, of like, you know, creating an addictive element to their food that's beyond the food itself with children. And I guess I can see that. But, you know, it was fun as a kid to kind of get into that. I was talking to my wife. Her parents worked for McDonald's Corporation for a while. And we both agreed that one of the coolest original McDonald's Happy Meal toy sets that they ever did was those ones that were like Transformer versions of their food. So like a milkshake would turn into a robot, and like a hamburger would turn into a robot, and the fries. I'll see if I can find like a commercial or a picture of them, because I had a bunch and she said she had the whole set, And those are just neat because, you know, now it's mostly licensed stuff. Like, okay, we'll do Batman and Wizard of Oz because those are two things that are happening right now. But back then, they would kind of do some original ones every now and then, too. And they might still do it. I'm pretty out of touch with that, so I'm not quite sure. But that was just kind of a neat thing. And again, I know it's a little tricky, especially trying to, you know, raise a child who eats relatively healthy. But at the same time, sometimes it's a nice treat, and sometimes it's just convenient, a convenience thing. And I feel like, you know, as with most things, moderation is key, and so that works out. Moving into a little bit of TV talk, we've been kind of having a bit of a paradigm shift lately here in the household on the TV, and that is revolving around the fact that Lucy now is watching either at least as much PBS as she does Disney Channel, or possibly more. It's interesting because she's always been a Sesame Street fan, and then we would basically go over to Disney Channel and watch that for the rest of the day. Part of that was because I despised Sid the Science Kid the first few times I saw it and didn't want to have it on. But lately, I've been really zoning in on my work, and so I would just let her watch whatever. And if I'm working at the dining room table or even on the couch, I can pretty much zone out for a half hour, and it's not that big of a deal. And then after that, there's like Curious George, which she likes, and sometimes there's this dinosaur train show. I think that might be on before. I'm not quite sure anymore. She likes Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. She got into that via Netflix. And then the one that she really likes is Super Why, which, man, it's a kind of confusing thing. Again, I don't super pay attention to this stuff. It's just kind of on, but it's like a bunch of kids who go into stories and then help the characters figure out the story by changing the story, which feels a little strange as someone who wants to write stories. I don't necessarily like the idea of characters going in and changing everything. It just sounds kind of odd. But she really gets a kick out of it. The main characters are all from different storybooks, and one of them's a pig, so I think she likes that. And they're all dressed up like superheroes and like magic people. So that's cool. She's enjoying that, and as far as I can tell, it's not super annoying, so that kind of all gets a big thumbs up from me. And anything that kind of introduces her to stories is good, you know, book stories, all that kind of stuff. I was thinking about this a little while ago, and I might have talked about it on the show, but it seemed like when we were kids, I'm 30 now, so that'll give you an idea of the era I'm talking about, but it seemed like when we were kids, shows like Alvin and the Chipmunks and Muppet Babies really focused on taking existing stories and reinterpreting them for children with their stable of characters kind of filling out the roles. I specifically remember things like Frankenstein or Sherlock Holmes, kind of those older school stories all being reinterpreted in different ways, and that being like a fun thing. And I don't know if that happens as much anymore, but it seems like Super Why does do that. So that's kind of cool. And speaking of which, I really wish Muppet Babies was on DVD. I'm not sure what the deal with it is. I would imagine that Disney owns it along with all of the other Muppet stuff. And I'm kind of surprised that they've never put anything out on DVD. But I just think that's a really fun show. My kid loves playing with the little Muppet Babies toys that were from McDonald's from forever ago that, you know, her grandparents have found. And there was even a Miss Piggy with her Miss Piggy car in the box of cars that I mentioned last week that she's been playing with and enjoying. So I think there's like a lot of potential there to reintroduce that property. I mean, you could even do it as a new thing or its own thing. I'm honestly surprised that after The Muppets, the movie that came out like 2 or 3 years ago at this point, that they didn't try to do anything further into Muppets territory. They didn't launch a movie, they didn't do a TV show, they didn't do any of this stuff. And I know they tried a TV show maybe about 10 years ago and it didn't last for whatever reason, but it just seems like the type of thing that is ripe for a comeback, especially after the kind of awesomeness of the movie, which I really enjoyed. I know they're working on a sequel right now that also seems like it'll be very enjoyable, but we'll see. I mean, I do wish there was more of it out there. I will take what I can get, and I've become kind of a latter-day Muppets fan, but it is something that I think could have been exploited better because that's a great property, and it can be fun for adults and kids and all that. So just one of those things that surprised me usually when something like that happens, you can almost tell exactly how and when they're going to exploit it. And it just didn't happen this time, so it was a little odd, I guess. But anyway, if anybody of importance and with connections is listening, there's at least one guy who would buy the Muppet Babies on DVD. Just putting that out there. Well, it's starting to come down pretty hard here and possibly getting deeper into the storm, so I think it might make sense to wrap this up. Which brings us right into the Pop Papa Seal of Approval. This week it goes to something that I believe I've talked about before, but I don't think I've given the seal to, and that is the Case Logic Portable DVD Player Holder. I'll have the official name and everything on the site so you can check it out, but this is basically a case that you can hang on the headrest in your car so that the kid can watch from their car seat or their regular seat if they're, you know, older. And we had a DVD player, portable DVD player. This one's an Insignia. I don't know how old it is. Probably quite a few, actually, at this point. But, you know, this is just a basic portable DVD player. It looks like a tiny laptop. You flip it open, you put a disc in, and you let it play. And this case works out really well. It kind of winds up hanging like an L. And then there's straps to keep everything together. And when you get it set up right, it's basically like having the kind of built-in one. The only negative side to this over the actual built-in one is that your kid, if they do feel like it, they can get kind of kicksy with the thing on the bottom because it does come out towards them. Kind of like a tray table on an airplane. It kind of folds down that way. So depending on how tall they are, they can kick it, which Lucy did do a few times. But this has been a miracle for our trips. Before we realized that this would make sense, you know, she was kind of going crazy and crying and getting bored and just wanting to yell and all that stuff. And this keeps her occupied. Again, I've said this before, it's not optimal. I mean, I feel like when I was a kid and we would go on two-hour trips to my grandparents' house in Cleveland, I would, like, read books or play with toys and all that kind of stuff. But then again, I don't remember back to when I was two. So hopefully when she gets a little bit older, things will change and she'll maybe get into some other stuff. But for now, there's just not that much that she can do to entertain herself or allow herself to fall asleep. So this really helps. And I highly recommend getting something along these lines. We also got one that didn't wind up working out for us, but you can get like a holder for a Kindle or an iPad that does the same thing. It hooks onto the back of the seat and so they can watch that. Either one works. The DVD player just works better for us because a lot of the stuff that she likes to do on the Kindle needs Wi-Fi, and we don't have that in the car, so that could be tricky. This just lets her watch her movies, and she really gets a kick out of it. Which ties right into the pop-up of the week, which goes to Cornelius from the Disney CGI movie Meet the Robinsons. Now, this gets into super spoiler stuff for that film, so if you don't want to have that movie ruined, this is probably a good place to stop. And I hope you have a good week. If you have seen it or don't care, basically what happens is that movie is about a young boy in the present who gets taken to the future by another young boy who is part of a family of very eccentric people. Not many of them are actually related by blood, but they're all kind of together. And then there's a patriarch named Cornelius who is a genius inventor and also kind of the glue that holds everybody together. And what you learn at the end of the film is that the kid in the present is Cornelius in the future. And what winds up happening is in the present he's an orphan and a wannabe inventor, and eventually he gets adopted and starts becoming this great, brilliant inventor. And what he does is he basically builds a family around himself because he didn't have one as a kid. And then he has his own kids, and everybody's encouraged to do their own thing and kind of follow their dreams as best they can, and he's there to support them. And I just think that's a really interesting kind of model of fatherhood for some people, one that I like a lot, where you kind of take the good and the bad of your childhood and you do your best to emulate what was good and fix what was bad. not only for yourself and your kids, but for whoever else kind of comes along. I also really enjoy the idea of kind of building a family. You don't always know what your situation is going to be, and sometimes you kind of put a family together as opposed to being born into one, which is something that a theme that I've kind of found throughout my life. There's always family, but then there's kind of what you build, where you wind up, and that is sometimes a very different thing, and that is cool to see in the film. I also just love that movie. I reviewed it on my pop culture blog, United Monkey, a while ago, and it was one that I was trying to get Lucy to watch, and for the longest time she didn't care about it. And then on the way to Pennsylvania, she wanted to watch it like 3 or 4 times there and back. So that was kind of cool. She hasn't wanted to watch it today. We watched the 2 Toy Story movies and part of Wreck-It Ralph before she fell asleep. But it's a great movie. It's got a lot of fun imagination to it. And I wish it was a little bit more reflected in Disney World, because it's a cool movie and it offers a lot of interesting visuals that could be put into the park. Although I know that, you know, it's kind of old at this point as far as they're concerned. So yeah, I really enjoyed kind of that idea of parenthood as put forth in Meet the Robinsons. So it's getting darker and a little bit creepier and much rainier outside. I am going to sign off now. I am your host, TJ Deitch. I appreciate you listening to the 30th episode of the Pop Pop and Napcast. I was doing a little bit of math, and I believe I've missed 2 weeks, which means this is the 32nd week of posting these things, which means I'm at about the 8-month mark, which is pretty cool. I hope everybody's enjoying it. I enjoy doing it, and it is a good audio record for me to put down that people can listen to at their leisure. If you want to check out more of my writings, you can head on over to poppapa.com. That's where you can find the show notes for this episode, links to different things, and places where you can buy some of the things I talked about if they're of interest to you. I've also got my pop culture blog that I mentioned, United Monkey. That's monkee.com. That's got a lot of horror stuff right now because it is October, and I do enjoy watching horror movies. But I try to get it some music and TV and comics and all that kind of stuff in there as well. With this weather right now, it really makes me want to watch Halloween or House on Haunted Hill, so I'm probably going to do that while Lucy's still sleeping. And I've got monkeying around the kitchen, which I have not updated in forever, and I feel bad about, but I am trying, although I've said that the past 3 weeks, and I have not done anything, so I guess take that for what it's worth. I do, however, maintain my Twitter account pretty faithfully. That's at Papa Deitch. That's PoppaDietschSch. All right, gang, I'm going to sign off before we lose power, and I hope you have a good one.